If someone could make Kathleen unmute and also make her a co-host so she won't be affected.
Good morning, everybody. I don't know how to be a co-host, but whatever. I'm your Luddite here. My name is
How would you like your time?
last. Just let me know when I have 5 minutes, if you don't mind.
No problem.
Thank you. Don't like looking at myself. Okay. My name is Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you for letting me be here today. My first thought when Bridget asked me comes, no, I can't. I haven't lost all the weight I need to lose. I don't have any, the how we do. And I've really been consciously trying the last couple of weeks actually to say yes to life again. I am hiding out. I'm an isolator, but yet can be show business when I want to be. And I just didn't want to be. And I don't want to be show business today. I want to be real. And I thank you for listening to what I have to say. If one thing I say helps one person, thank you, Lord. So to qualify, my highest weight that I know of was 345. That was the last time I joined Weight Watchers about 11 years ago, but I know I was heavier than that. And so I say I weighed like 360, but who knows how much more closer I got to 400 pounds. I never thought I'd be 200 pounds, let alone on the road to that. So I first joined Weight Watchers in 19 Weight Watchers Overeaters Anonymous in 1985, and I'll tell you how that happened. And I lost all the weight I needed to do, and then I thought I knew everything, and then I went on to go look like this. I don't know if you guys can see. So that was my, and I was very much younger. And then to me, I don't even look, recognize myself as a human being in that picture. Needless to say, I'm so grateful that I was beaten down enough to crawl back into the rooms. And right now, I'm down 120. I was down like close to 140, and I gained some weight back. But the difference between now and then is I didn't say screw it and leave. And that's how I usually did it. I would lose weight, gain it back, and say screw it, and then went on to, as they say, do it more with interest. So, when I was a kid, I was skinny. I was a really skinny little girl until I hit puberty. And my family was a food family, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish, Irish, whatever we were, everybody was eating. We had big holidays, food, food, food. My father was a compulsive overeater. He would bring home stuff from the Italian deli every Saturday, and we'd just have our little field day. And food became my comfort, my solace. And in puberty, I also discovered I had quite the mouth on me, and I would fight back. I was the only girl out of four kids, so I'd fight back with my mouth. And my mother did not like that. And she wouldn't do anything about it. And my father did when he got home. And that's enough I'll say about that. That was not fun for many, many, many years. So when I started to gain a little weight, if you look now to me, okay, maybe you needed to lose 15 pounds, if that. But I grew up in the land of Twiggy. That's when I was 13. She was the queen, as was Peggy Lipton, skinny. Strict straight hair, blonde, everything the opposite of me. And so I was bullied in school, physically and verbally, pushed down a hill. I mean, a big hill by the free. I mean, it was just bizarre. So what did I do? I didn't cave in. I developed a personality, and I would make you laugh, and I'd make fun of myself first so you'd laugh and like me. And I was well liked, even though I was bullied. And that went on into high school. I went to Catholic school, by the way, and maybe anybody who's been to Catholic school in the 1960s knows that was something to survive. I learned how to do it, authority, and everything literally was black and white then. And that's how I thought life was. So I went to public high school, which was a rude awakening. And by the time I was 16, I know exactly how much I weighed pretty much at every stage of my life, because that was my whole life. If I was skinny, I was going to be happy. I weighed 172 the first time I went to Weight Watchers, and my dad and me and our neighbors, we all went together. My dad lost a ton of weight in 6 months. And I got down to 135 pounds. Well, I thought I was the shit, as they say, and had long hair. And then my next excitement happened. That was boys. And every time I got together with a fella, I would turn over my power to him and start gaining weight again because I wouldn't take care of myself. And that went on and on. So fast forward to after breaking up my first engagement, I did my dream and came to LA because I grew up in the Bay Area. If I said that already, forgive me. And I was working for a woman who was beautiful and slim, and she wanted me to be her assistant. So she took me out to eat and said, "Honey, do you enjoy being overweight?" Because I was around 245 then. I'm like, "Oh my God, of course." You know, I had to be nice to authority. I said, "Yeah, it's real fun." So she told me about OA. And I went to the meeting with her. And in my family, as boisterous as we were and so forth, we didn't do a lot of touching. There was a lot of yelling, hitting, all that kind of stuff, and eating, but not touching. And she put her hand on my back and started rubbing my back, and I just flinched. I literally flinched. It was 38 years ago, and I still remember. And she became my best friend. She was my first sponsor because I was very good with authority, and I wanted to please her. And I did what she strongly suggested, which was to stop drinking. And I liked to go out. I was young. I was 30. So I stopped drinking. I stopped eating all sweets. And of course, I lost the weight. But I didn't do the work. And I did it for a while, but I left. And so the only credo that I can do through the thread of my 20 minutes is to just keep coming back. Even if you're struggling, just keep coming back. Because I left for a long time. And I went up and down and up and down. And so when I was 37, I got to move back. I went up to the Bay Area. I know you'll be surprised, for a guy, my high school boyfriend, and came back to LA, thankfully. And I had gained some the way back plus interest. And so I knew I needed to get back to OA. And so I went to a meeting at Thalian's on Friday night. I don't know if anybody remembers that meeting. And there was a woman there who was just so vivacious, and she had this cute outfit on. She was slim. She was older. And I thought, well, who does she think she is? So I, you know, so such an angry soul. I'm such an angry soul sometimes. I was, not as much now. But of course, God has a great sense of humor. And the company I was working for, they had corporate stores, and I went in to work a promotion in one of them, and here she came in. And I just went, "Oh, brother." So I started working with her, and I said, "You know, I saw you Friday night." And she just gave me a look, and she handed me a card with her phone number on it, and that was Roz. Dear Roz. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I'm so lucky. You know, in the first meeting I told you about, but I don't think I said when they said, but I got really angry because the God of my childhood was full God, very loving. In my youth, I don't know what it's like now because I don't study Catholicism anymore. I still go to church sometimes, but in my youth, they had mortal sins and venial sins. And a venial sin was something you just thought about. If you thought of something, you paid the price as bad as if you did it. And so I was, you know, racked with guilt 24/7 my whole life. And no wonder I ate like a fiend. You know, I didn't talk about, did I talk about candy? I don't think so. That was my drug of choice. And at the point where, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth, forgive me. But at the point before I got abstinent again, I had at least four bags of candy going at all times. And when I didn't, when it started getting down my stash, I literally panicked. And I got over to the store as soon as possible. I always had, if I can talk about food, I always had at least two chocolate and two of the weird gummy stuff, licorice and bears and stuff like that. I was like a child. One thing, again, going back and what it was like, I went to an EDU in 1997. And one of the things that stuck with me is you had to go around the room, hold each person's hand, look them in the eye, and talk about your food. And when I talked about candy, it said, "What did it mean to you?" And it meant childhood and no responsibility and fun. And that's what I like. I hate reality. I have an annual pass to Disneyland. I don't like reality, but that doesn't mean I have to stop facing reality. And now I know that. I didn't know that then. And that's what eating was. It was oblivion. and no reality and fun and leave me alone. So Roz, dear Roz, helped me. And I started to lose weight again. And I got down, you know, a little bit over 200 pounds, which was great. Because I think I was up to like 270 or more. And guess what? I met my husband. And that was probably, that is the most profound experience of my life in OA and meeting my husband. Because he is the person who gave me unconditional love. I still have my mother. My dad died when he was 61. And that was a terrible, unresolved death because we didn't really have it out and talk about it. I know we loved each other, but he had issues, man. Well, when he died, I blamed my mom for everything. And I saw, poor mom, and she's still alive and she's still hurting my feelings. And the difference between then and now is yesterday she said some horrible thing. And I had to work through it. I got mad for a few seconds and I talked about it to myself and I prayed about it. And, you know, good old page 449. I have all the old books. So I have the third edition on page 449, where he says, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. I cannot change my mother. I'll never, my God, she's not going to change at 96. I try to do that my whole life. The other thing I want to tell you is, and I'll talk about Ken in a minute, because that's a pretty pivotal relationship. I just reread this for the millionth time the other day and for today. I read every day and write every night with my sponsor. But this is on January 12th. The great enemy of the truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. John F. Kennedy. The food addiction was acquired so I could survive and cope in earlier painful circumstances. I wasn't going to go into my parents' liquor cabinet. I couldn't even reach it. Food was my drug. It helped me. And I'm grateful to it for that. I'm the one who made it a problem. Thus began two myths. First, the pain was to be avoided at all costs. And second, that eating would relieve the pain free of charge. I lived by that. Why is it horrible for me to live with misery? It's not. I'll tell you right now, I actually am legally blind in my right eye. I had two weird surgeries last year out of the blue. I had a hole in my retina and a retina detachment. And I'm waiting to see if I can do a cataract. And the doctor recently said there could be this really bad circumstance. So I'm going to wait because I need my knees fixed. Joint problems run in my family, apparently. And then I made everything worse by being overweight. I'm really the only seriously overweight one in the family, just me and my dad. So I took after him, which is ironic. But that showed me I have to live with uncomfortable feelings and not eat over them. My stepchildren are not talking to me. My husband died a year and a half ago. They're pissed off at me. I have to live with that. I have other physical challenges. There's a, you know, life goes on. I'm petrified for the world. Okay, is eating candy or whatever going to help the world, you know, save these problems in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. So I've gotten more into logic versus my old behavior of throwing everything off. So meeting Ken, and my dear husband was diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment 6 years into our marriage, and proceeded into neurological problems, more so serious, and physical problems. And I became his caregiver. And I talk about it because even before that, that picture I showed you was before that, before he had problems. And I can't blame him. That's my MO, is taking care of everyone else instead of myself. And do I have 5 minutes left? Okay. I see the clock. Sorry. So that's something I'm trying to change, self-care. And the thing that, you know, the worst thing that could happen was him dying, and he did. And he was a person who just, I don't know how he did all these miraculous recoveries, but he did over and over. And he was supposed to come home on Monday, and Saturday I'm down at Cedars-Sinai bringing him stuff because he was in the COVID area. And he was supposed to come home on Monday. I just talked to the doctor about a half hour before that. I'm down there with treats for him and pictures because I couldn't see him. And their iPad didn't work. And the doctor called and said, he's no longer with us. His heart stopped and they couldn't help him. And I've come to accept that it was his time. He was older than I, and he had problems. And his body was tired, and it's okay. I miss him, and it's very hard. I've never grieved like this. But last week, maybe 10 days ago, I can't be miserable all the time anymore. And I talked to him all the time, and I said, look, I have to not be sad all the time. And so when that comes up, I'll feel it, and I'm not going to deny grieving because that's not good. But I end up in gratitude for what I had, you know? And I think that's how I need to keep doing life. And like I said, say yes when people ask me to do things. Say yes.
5 minutes left.
Thank you. So I'm kind of moving into what it's like now. So when I asked this particular person to be my sponsor going on 6 years ago, I was intimidated by her, meaning that I knew she was going to keep my feet to the fire. And I did it because I needed that. And so she asked me to call her Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, I hate getting up in the morning. Of course, I didn't say that. I said, okay. And I did. And so we talk for 30 minutes, 3 times a week. And it's such a gift from God. She really is smart. She knows how to deal with me. And I'll never forget the first thing she said. I have two rules. I'm like, okay, don't lie to me and don't try to impress me. Well, I thought, okay. And, you know, boy, did that help me. So every morning when I wake up, I say, thank you, God. And then I have really gotten turned on to the YouTube guided meditations. And they have a ton of 12-step meditations. I do the 12 steps every morning. I do upon awakening or on awakening, which is really great. It's such a great blueprint that I'm sure you all know. It's on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And then it gives us a guide as to what to do. And one of the things I've really tried desperately to do is pause. A lot of my anger comes out in driving. And I've had a couple of road rage incidents where people were not pleased. And so I've had to really change and realize it's not about me. They don't care about me. They're just getting where they need to go, you know? And I took it personally. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So after I do the meditations, then I do the first three steps of my own, the third step prayer, and prayers from my childhood that I find comforting and ask for help in those channels. And then I get up and make my bed. I was a slob. And I know why now. With my brilliant insight and my age is a wonderful thing. I was flipping off my mother. My mother was clean and organized, and we had to clean every Saturday and blah, blah, blah. Remember, I was the only girl. And I didn't want her to have the satisfaction of me keeping my room up. So I'd do my own laundry starting at 14, and I'd let it sit and sit and sit. I'd sleep in a sleeping bag. I think it drove her insane, and that was the goal, you know? But as they said, you take the poison, you expect the other person to die. What difference does it make? She's sleeping in a nice, clean, fresh bed, and I'm in the idiot in the, you know, whatever, sleeping bag. So I make myself do things like that. My room is organized. My clothes are picked up. If I had a bed, a chair in the bedroom, it was a mountain of clothes. And all it would take for me to hang it up. Now I know she was right. God, that pisses me off. But she was right. And I'm grateful to my mother. She has changed in some ways. God bless her. And anyway, so then I practice grooming myself. Most days I wear makeup for me. Most days I wear perfume for me. When I first got in the program, they always said, if you are asked to speak, you go and you dress as becomingly as possible. And that's just the way to do it in life, I think. I used to go to take money out of my ATM 30 something years ago. I wouldn't look at the balance. I didn't want to know. I didn't like reality. Now I can tell you pretty much exactly how much money I have. I have my stuff put away imperfectly, by the way, not perfect, but the kitchen's always clean before I go to bed. The house is picked up. Within 15 minutes, I could be ready to have somebody over. You know, everything's pretty much done methodically. And who is this person? That is not me. I learned, you know, one of the things it tells us on awakening in that piece is, as alcoholics, as, you know, whatever, we are not disciplined people. I was not a disciplined person. And I became more disciplined, and every day is better. I go through my day imperfectly. I was about 2.5 years ago, I started doing an app for counting calories. I never counted calories ever. I mean, Weight Watchers was points. It was like a game, but I got into the reality of that. And it really helps me to track my food. And as Roz used to tell me, Kathy, you have to put the fork down. I can go to a million meetings. I can talk serenity all day, but unless I stop eating as much as I was eating, that third stool, you know, physical, emotional, spiritual, I'm not going to have recovery, and I need to have recovery. And so I rejoined. I had stopped it in December and I rejoined. And the reason I used food a little bit more during the holidays was because I went up to save my family, because I have to save everybody. My brother, who helps my mom and who lives with her, had hip replacement, and he's skinny. And it's just a family disease, I guess. But at any rate, I went up there.
That's your time.
That's my time. Thank you.
Wrap up.
So I have to learn, you know, it doesn't matter the circumstance. I have to stop eating, be in gratitude, work the program. And thank you for letting me share. I hope I said something right. Thank you.